Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freshly Booked on One Radio. Join us as we interview authors just beginning their literary journey. It doesn't matter how their book is published, the world agrees being a published author is a big step. We want to celebrate and spotlight these writers whose words were brought into the hands of readers. Listen in as they talk about their new experiences and join us in jubilation for those who are Freshly Booked.
Hi, everybody. This is Jennifer K. Taylor here with Freshly Booked. And this morning, we would like to introduce you to Leslie Campbell. If you've never heard of Leslie Campbell, she's a 35-year-old writer living in Suffolk County, New York. In addition to writing novels and short stories, she loves to write poetry and she also sings. She wrote her first novel at the age of 13, which has remained unpublished. And while planning on coming back to her love of the written word in her 20s, she lost it in the shuffle of the administrative jobs. I can totally identify with that. She found a little time to write once she returned to school, where she received her associate's degree in graphic design. Leslie's genres currently range between romance and erotica, and her first series of novels will be dedicated to the short stories about office romance that lend themselves to the sexual fantasy. So, Leslie, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself than what I have already said?
Okay. As you said, I'm a 35-year-old woman living out on Long Island. I grew up in Queens, though, but my heart is always going to be in Long Island. I love the suburbs, but it's nice to know that the city is like a hop, skip, and jump away to train ride. I am first-generation American, family from both sides from Costa Rica. And I am probably the only bunch of family that's kind of like living out here in New York. Everyone else has went to Georgia, and they're kind of like migrated away. But I really do love New York, and I'm not ready to leave it just yet. As you said in the blurb, I work as an admin during the day. And when I come home, I'm a freelance graphic designer. And now I'm a novelist, finally. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Let's just go ahead and get to the nitty-gritty of your background. How did you start writing? I know you said you wrote your first novel at 13, but that seems like a young age to start writing.
I've always been a writer, honestly. I can even remember writing stories when I was in elementary school. I've always felt this great need to write down experiences or thoughts or dreams. And it always starts out as just like little entries, like little journal entries, but then they turn into stories and I just go with it. So at the age of around 13, I remember I was taking the bus to my grandmother's house and I came up with this idea out of nowhere. I was inspired by reading a V.C. Andrews novel. And while, my story was not V.C. Andrews, V.C. Andrews-esque in terms of, those very soft topics that she likes to talk about, just the kind of the style young adult fiction and, kind of having a teenage girl who is going through so much, in addition to what, all normal teenage girls go through, just a lot of added drama. And I came up with the idea for four books in that series, just in that one bus ride home. And I got straight to work just writing it. And I think I finished the first book maybe when I was about 14, maybe almost 15, and it was about 400 pages. I still have it, and I do plan to publish it. And I went back to read it, and it's really good. I thought it would be gibberish because, it was so long ago, but it's actually really, really good. So, yeah, I've just always been a writer. It's always been in my blood.
Now, you said that you took entries from your journal and just wrote stories. Did that continue with your books now?
Yeah, actually, the novel that I just that I put out here, How to Break the Spell, it's my story. I never intended to make it into a book. I went through a really, really rough patch about two and a half years ago, and I was lost. And I devoted, like I said in the blurb, I devoted myself to office jobs, which you have to be very careful of what you devote yourself to. You have to make sure that you understand the difference between a job and a career. Otherwise, you can find yourself just kind of like being drowned out by what you think people want you to do or what you think you're supposed to do and not what you want to do. There really is no safe path if you really think about it. I saw this, you know, post on Tumblr that Jim Carrey was saying his father would have been a great, and he decided to take the safe route of being an accountant instead. And so he built his life doing that and ended up getting fired anyway. And their family was scrambling for money, doing whatever they had to do. And he said he learned that at that age, at the age of 12, watching his father and everything he went through, even after taking the safe route, that you really should just go out there and just chase your dreams. Just do what you want to do, because there is no safe route. Even if you do everything right, you can still be let down. You can still find yourself just falling. And that's what happened to me. I devoted myself to a company that ended up letting me go after 6 years. When I say I devoted myself, morning, noon, night, I was going in at 9, I was leaving at 2 in the morning, and I only got paid up until 5 p.m. But I figured, you know, that was job security, and that I was making sure that I got everything done, and I was wearing so many hats, and that was the only thing that I could do, and I still ended up getting laid off. And I went into a really deep state of depression. Nothing could lift me out of it. My best friend, she was a great help, but I needed to do something for myself. And so I just started writing about what happened to me, just to show that it wasn't my fault, that I did everything I was supposed to do, that there had to be some silver lining, some reason for everything. And this story came about. And I just found myself going from just having maybe 2 pages to like having 50 and then 100 and then so on and so on. And I decided to make it into a story and just kind of spin it off of me and make it into another character.
Oh, that is great. I absolutely love the idea of sitting down reading a book based on something that's true, but it still has like a fictional twist. You know, it's not like a memoir. I really like that. So I am actually very intrigued about your book now. tell us what other kind of books do you like to write? Do you like read? Do you like to read within your genre, or do you like to kind of venture out?
I find that I do like to read within my genre. I've tried to read other authors. I've read a lot of Stephen King, Dean Koontz. Anne Rice, I guess, is still within the genre, but she's more like fantasy too. I love the Harry Potter series. J.K. Rowling is like, she's everything I aspire to be. I don't think I could be in a room with her. I think I would just be like fawning all over her, just like just having like. I mean, I would totally spaz out around her. I would be tongue-tied. She's everything I would love to be as an author. I love the series. I reread the whole series like at least once a year. I really do like reading about fantasy, but fiction, like something that kind of is real life, but you can still use it to escape. Because, you know, sometimes you just kind of need a little bit of an escape. You need something that's going to take you away from all the stuff that you know you have to go back to once you put the book down. So, yeah, I kind of go from, you know, fantasy to fiction to, I won't really say horror so much, but it's mostly fantasy or fiction and romance.
That's like me. I can't just stay within the genre. I think it kind of clogs my brain and it kind of shuts me down. But outside of it, you know, I love to read fantasy. I have a friend of mine who writes fantasy short stories. In fact, she wrote one just on the spur of a whim about a putt-putt story, and they're playing mini golf, and it is hilarious. And I was like, you know what? That just inspired me to write. So I just went and wrote after that. So I can totally understand that. Now, how do you get prepared to write? Do you put on music? Do you put on coffee or tea, or how does that work?
I envy anyone who can write through music. I can't do it. I know people who can like put on headphones and while they're reading, they can just listen to me. I don't understand how they can do that. I don't know. I feel like there's something wrong with me that I can't do something like that. I need like absolute quiet, I need like a place to go where no one else is around. I usually, for that reason, will write it around like maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, just because I know I'm promised quiet. I get interrupted very easily. I don't know if it's like a short attention span, but I know I can get the littlest things can annoy me when I'm, you know, trying to get quiet, like peace and quiet. I'm a very sensitive sleeper, and yeah, I definitely need quiet when I write.
Well, do you carefully plot out what you're writing, or do you just kind of go for it?
I've tried to plot out what I write. I've done the whole carry a notepad around with me thing, and I will write down things, but I find that when I sit at the computer, everything on the notepad gets forgotten. I'll just zone out. Next thing I know, I have 10 pages written, and I don't remember what I wrote. I have to go back and just, like, go over it. It's kind of like I leave my body, and I literally, there have been times when I'm like, I just wrote that? Like, wait, where did I get that from? There are things I'm writing about that there's no way that I know. Like, my friend was like, oh, well, you existed in other lifetimes then, maybe. And I'm like, well, that's cool. As long as, you know, it helps me make a career, then I'm fine with that. But I have to just sit there and write. My fingers will glide across the keyboard, and I just zone out. And the next thing I know, like I said, there's like 10 pages. And I have to just go back over them because I'm like, okay, I don't remember anything that I just wrote.
You know, that sounds kind of different from everyone else that I've interviewed on the show, but it's almost like that is the most genuine answer. You know, you get zoned into it and you're so keyed into what you're writing, but it's like you're not controlling it. And I love the way that sounds.
No, there was this book that I read when I was about 15. I'm trying to remember the author. This has been killing me because I've been trying to remember the author for like the past month. I think it was Christopher Pike. I'm not sure. But this girl, she throws a party. Her parents are out of town, and they live in like this really fancy, penthouse apartment. And when she thinks everyone goes home, she goes out to the balcony, and she's overlooking and starts thinking about the story, thinking about like, you know, the party. And she falls, and she ends up, you know, dying. She comes back as a spirit and starts, like, kind of haunting this one journalist that, you know, she never really paid attention to when she was alive. And she was a good person. She wasn't, you know, snotty or anything like that, not one of those books. But this person wanted to be a writer, a journalist, and she would just, like, whisper her story into her ear. And the next thing you know, the journalist is just, like, writing down what happened, not realizing that this is a real story, that this really happened, because it turns out that she was pushed off the balcony. So, you know, I mean, I feel like something creepy like that is happening to me, because there's no way, even at the age of 15, when I had finished the other book, there's no way I could have known about all those things on my own. It's just, I know
exactly.
I know it sounds weird.
No, it doesn't. It's like the story just kind of takes over. You know, mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. I've never heard anybody say that before, but I really think that there are authors out there, especially you, who get so zoned into what they're writing, they just go for it. It's almost like, you know, I hear about the people that write with Nano, and they're like, oh, well, my characters speak to me, and my characters won't do this, my characters won't do that. And I never could understand that, because I am a control freak. My character is going to do what I tell it to do. And then there are people who just kind of go for it. And I applaud you for that, because I've never been able to do that.
Yeah, I can't in any way, shape, or form control the story. I'll sit down with an idea of what I want to write and how I want them to act, and it gets away from me, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm guessing that'll work out later on, and it always does. It for some strange reason, it always gets wrapped up in a pretty bow, and I'm glad for that.
It's brought you two books already. It works.
Yeah.
Speaking of your books, tell us how you decided to publish these books.
I did a lot of research, and while I would love to go through a traditional publishing house, I had a friend who was ironically born on the same exact day as me, month, year, everything. She's been doing it through Amazon. She's been doing indie publishing, and she's had some success. She's dealing with an illness right now, so she's not able to really put her heart and soul into it as much as she wants to. But she's the one who encouraged me to do this, because I was stalling. I was one of those people who was dragging my feet and saying one day. But she was just like, why not today? You know what I mean? Especially when I was unemployed and I had nothing else and I was kind of lost. She was like, you know, why don't you just use this? I mean, go back to writing. And so I gave it a shot, and I put it onto Amazon. And I got a really good amount of responses from it. This weekend, for instance, I'm using the KDP Select program to showcase the first novel for free. And, I mean, I woke up already to about 100 downloads, and it's early morning. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. People are responding to it, and, I mean, you know, I hope that it leads them to following the series. But I find that, yeah, indie publishing for me right now is kind of I want to stay here for a little while, but I would not object if a publishing house were to approach me, and fingers crossed on that, because that would be awesome.
Okay, now you have a book that's on Amazon today for free. Will you tell us about that book?
Sure.
Yeah, I saw
it. How to Make the Spell Alive, the first book in the series. It's the Sugar Baby series, and for those who don't know what a sugar baby is, it's basically a young man or a woman who decides to kind of give their time to an older benefactor, either a sugar daddy or sugar mama, and in exchange they get, you know, gifts, or they get their bills paid off. It's basically someone who's taking care of them, a generous benefactor. The first book is about a woman named Tara who is working at a company that she really, really loves, and there's a coworker that she has an insane crush on. And the book starts out very normally, and then the company gets sold. And she finds herself being laid off. She finds all the people at work that she thought were her closest friends. They kind of turn their backs on her. And the guy at work that she had such a crush on, the relationship dies there. And so she's basically sitting at home just trying to figure out what she did wrong and beating herself up about it. Before she comes to the realization that there was nothing that she could have done, it still doesn't stop her from going into a deep depression, though. And that's when she stumbles across the idea while looking for new work, because that's definitely the theme. She's still looking for work. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to have her rely on someone else to pay her bills. But while she's looking for work, she decides to give being a sugar baby a chance. The thing is, she's not what you really think of when you think of a sugar baby. You think of, you know, 21 and, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, tiny, you know, petite body. She is in her 30s. She's African-American. She's 5'16". You know, she's definitely not what you think of when you think of a sugar baby. So she doesn't know how she's going to do out there, if she's even going to get any hits whatsoever. And she has some really interesting characters. Every single character that I have brought into the book, I've actually spoken to, because this is my story. This is what happened to me. So, I mean, there were moments where I could just copy and paste everything that was said to me by these guys, and it just made it so much easier, because there was no way I could recreate what I went through with them. I had a lot of bad situations, but I did have a couple of good situations, and that the first book basically ends on the best situation that I had out of my experience. The second book, which is, I just put it out there April 1st, is called How to Find a Star. Bottom line of the situation is that the story continues from there, and she's still looking for work, and she's still looking for the sugar daddy of her dreams. And by the end of the book, she's now put in a position where she has to make a choice between having found that sugar daddy of her dreams and also being offered a job. And she has to do what's right for her. She has to do what she feels, you know, will put her in the safest position. The story stopped being mine at that point. I never found, you know, the sugar daddy of my dreams. I found a job. But I decided to just kind of, like, carry the book on and just, you know, go from there, because I can live through her at this point, you know. So, that's basically book number two. And I'm working on book number three now, to be out in August, I believe on August 1st.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about your third book that's going to come out?
Once she makes her decision, she basically, it's not going to be so much about her looking for her knight in shining armor. If I ever did find the sugar daddy of my dreams, I would want to improve upon me, improve upon my life. I'd want to get myself to a point where my bills are paid off, where I'm living comfortably, where, you know, I'm able to focus on school, I'm able to focus on what I really want to do with my life, and not feeling like I have to take a job that I really don't want, you know, just to pay the bills. I would just try to find myself. I'd want to, you know, improve on health, improve on everything, and that's what the book is about. She finds herself. She has all these opportunities that she, A, never had before, and B, never thought in a million years she would have to travel, to, you know, to experience all these different types of, like, you know, just experiences, like, in the city. She's not a city girl, neither am I. But, you know, she finds herself able to get out there and finally appreciate it. And it's just really about finding out what she really wants to do with her life. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't like to say it like this, because I don't like the whole, well, you know, society says, I hate those words. But, you know, if at the age of, like, you know, 34, 35, you know, it'd be nice if you kind of had an idea of what you wanted to do. If you don't, it's fine. I mean, there are plenty of people who are in their 40s and 50s who still don't know quite what they want to do. But, you know, she kind of feels like she's sitting on the precipice of something where she should, you know, start to kind of devote herself towards that instead of working at these 9-to-5 to put money in other people's pockets. Yeah, the third book is just about her finding herself.
Well, that is great. I am actually going to have to pick up all three of these books because I really want to read this story now. Well, I have a question for you. I know the main character is based off of you, but if it was in a movie, what celebrity would you choose to play the main character?
I have to be honest with you. I think of one. I don't want a known celebrity to play her. I think it would be really refreshing if, you know, a brand new face were to play her, actually. The thing with Hollywood typecasting to me is that they keep using the same faces for certain, you know, like, niches. Like, well, we need someone who's, like, you know, mixed race with long hair. Okay, we'll just, you know, pick Zoe Saldana. And it's like, okay, but there are other, you know, celebs out there who would be a better fit. It's just they're trying to go for the name. And I understand that, but I just kind of feel like I can't think of a celebrity that would be able to play Tara. Closest that I could think of, and she's not a size 16, is Jordan Sparks. But I just, that's still reaching. I would love a fresh face to play Tara and to you know, even play the other characters, to be honest with you.
You know, it's really interesting to hear you say that because a lot of people go to stereotypes. And you're
mm-hmm.
not, I'm finding you are not the typical writer, and I love this. But
yeah,
yes, that is a huge compliment. You know, when I've tried to write a character, I try to get the look maybe off of a celebrity or at least a picture of somebody. But, you know,
right.
Having a fresh face in there to play a character, it becomes more about the character, not about what you know about the actor.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Because, I mean, it takes me, like, maybe halfway through the movie to forget that, you know, this character is focused on the character and not on what the last movie that actor or actress was in. I just, it's really hard for me. I was watching The Perks of Being a Wallflower, and it took me a long, long while to, like, forget Hermione Granger and just focus on Emma Watson as that character. It was really messing with me. Because I'm so used to it, and it's like, she was in so many Harry Potter movies. It took forever for me to get that out of my mind. She did a wonderful job. But I definitely think if I had never seen the Harry Potter movies, I would have been able to just, like, be sucked into the story more. But it's just such a known face for, you know, one niche that you just kind of, it's hard to focus. It really is.
Yeah, and you get so caught up in what you've read about them or, you know, if say it's in a series like Charlie's Angels, they had a first and a second movie.
Right.
And the first one, Bill Murray was there. And then the second one, he wasn't. And they got Bernie
right.
Mac to do it. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute. This totally changes the dynamic.
Right.
And you're watching the dynamics change and you're not watching the movie.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that. You're right. I didn't even, wow. Wow. Yeah, that's messing me up right now. I just realized
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin it.
No, but yeah, it does mess up in that dynamic of the movie because, I mean, did they even explain what the change or did they just go with it and make it seem like it was always Bernie Mac to begin with?
No, they actually changed it up. He is supposedly a cousin. That's how they wrote it in. But actually what happened was Bill Murray and, I can't remember her. She was the Asian actress.
Lucy Liu.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. They did not get along at all. So he was told, you are not allowed to come back. And she, of course, was supposed to stay because you can't replace her. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah.
But apparently he was expendable.
Wow, but yeah, but it still throws the story off.
Yeah, it was a really good story. And, you know, I think I actually liked it better with Bernie Mac because he was funnier. It was almost like Bill Murray was trying too hard, almost.
Yeah. I only remember Bernie Mac I don't remember Bill Murray. That's really weird. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen the first one in so long.
That may be it. But, you know, he made such an impact on the second one, just with his stand-up comedy humor. It was perfect. I wish they would have started out with him. Oh, I know. He was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. How did you come up with the titles for your books?
I wanted a fairy tale aspect. I wanted a theme, you know. I definitely wanted something to tie together a series, because for right now, I pretty much have the idea for about 6 books in the series. It could be more, but definitely 6 books. And I wanted the how-to to be a main thing. How to Break the Spell was basically, I came up with the idea for that one because she did, a spell was broken. She was, you know, we have this idea that's kind of put into our heads from the time that we're kids, you know. Our parents mean well, and I completely, like, if I had a child, I would kind of want to say the same thing, but maybe with a little bit of a twist. You know, the whole go to school, get a job, you know, and you'll have the big, beautiful house and the big, you know, beautiful family. But it's not that easy. It's just nowadays, no matter how hard you work, I mean, you really need to have a leg up. You really need to kind of know somebody. You need to come into some sort of a windfall, because the hardest working people I know are the poorest. And it's the saddest thing to say. I know people who are making money while they sleep, and they're not, I mean, they're just, they know how to work smart. It's not a matter of working hard. Bottom line of the situation is I ended up getting hurt by doing the right thing. You know, I wasn't popping out kids for, you know, society to take care of. I was, you know, paying my bills, paying my taxes. I was doing the right thing. I put myself through school. I was going to work. I wasn't living off of anybody else's money. I was doing the right thing, and I still got hurt. I still ended up, you know, kind of getting kicked while I was down on top of it. And I realized through it all, I really did go through a deep depression, and I kept asking God why. Like, why would you have this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Wasn't I doing everything I was supposed to do? And it's moments like that that make you question God's existence. But I had to stop and say, there has to be a reason for this. There has to be a reason why this happened. And it happened because I was going down the wrong path. I was devoting myself to a job, bottom line, and I never really wanted to make it into a career, but treating it as one. And once I realized, you know, through writing, that this is what I wanted to do, that I came full sail right back to what I abandoned to go into these office jobs, you know, these jobs that, yeah, they paid the basic bills, but they weren't paying anything off. And they weren't making me happy. They were, like, sucking the life out of me. Once I realized that I could get out of that whole spell and just kind of, you know, find what I really love to do and focus on that and find happiness, which I think is the whole reason for living, the whole secret to life. Once I realized that, I felt like a different person. I wasn't depressed anymore. I felt like I had something to live for. I felt like I had found some secret that other people around me didn't know. It was like I'm just sitting there giggling to myself while other people looking at me like, what is wrong with her? Like, I'm just so happy that I found what I want to do. It's the best feeling in life.
Yes, so, it is. It is absolutely the best feeling.
I just felt like
we only have about 60 seconds, and I want to make sure that everybody can find you on your social media. So can you tell everybody where to find you?
I am on Tumblr. I am under Leslie Campbell on Tumblr. And on Twitter, I believe I'm under Leslie Campbell. If you go to my Amazon page, all the links are there. I'm usually on Tumblr. Twitter, I'm not too active on. I'm not on Facebook yet.
Okay, great. Well, everybody, in the description of our show this morning, down there where it says buy her book here, that is the link to her Amazon page. So you can find all of her social media links there. You can also buy her book. And remember, her first one that came out is for free today only on the April 25th. So you guys want to go out and get it and buy the other one, because you're going to want to read the third one in August when it comes out. Yeah. Leslie, thank you so much for being here. I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you.
Oh,
and
thank you so much.
I really hope that we can have you back sometime.
Thank you so much, and I hope so too.
Great. Have a great day, everybody, and keep reading.